Father God, I just want to say that exact prayer. That as we get squeezed, Lord, that we would be squeezed together. And Lord, that we would become something new as a church, as a body. And Lord, that we would be drawn closer together. God, we always know, and most of us can say that we don't like change in life. We don't like small changes, and when big changes come, we can freak out. But Lord, I pray that instead of having that freak out time, that we would just be there for one another, to comfort one another, and know that you are the one that is in control, that you are the one that molds all things. So God, make us into what you want us to be. And I pray that that would be the prayer of every single person in this church. God, that your hands would just begin to mold and shape Crossroads into what you want it to be from this point. So thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I get started, I was over at the men's breakfast this morning, and all the men were talking and around a little fire, and I kind of got like this little mental picture or something like that, just kind of, and I didn't get a chance to share it, so I figured maybe it was because I was supposed to share it with everybody. And the whole idea was that, you know, there's a lot of times if you go on like an expedition or you have like a platoon go out to like a battle, right? There's typically one person that's in charge, that's leading the expedition, that's leading the platoon, right? And when something happens to that person, say they get lost in the expedition or their life is taken, the platoon or the expedition team have two options, right? They can either freak out and begin to run in all the different directions, but typically if that happens, nobody's going to survive. But if the team bands together and remembers everything that they've been taught, then they're going to live, right? So that's what I want for this church, is that although the leader that we've all come to know and to love is no longer here, we either have the option to split and run in different directions and hope that we survive, or we can come together, remember everything that was taught to us, all the foundation that was set through Joe, through what we've been taught through the Bible, and we can come together and band, and we have a better chance of making it out. So let that be a prayer as we begin to move forward, that this is something that brings our church together in unity, and that we can remember everything that we've learned. But if we don't keep our eyes on the battle that's ahead, we're going to get caught off guard. So I just felt like I needed to share that with everybody, and I hope that everybody is in agreement. I hope that we can come together as a church and go into the battle that's before us. So I was thinking, we all know the story of Satan falling, right? That there's a rebellion that happened against God. We all kind of see that and think about that. Well, I have a different theory I want to share with you guys this morning. Is that okay? Can I share a different theory? So I believe that, you know, Satan worked up the courage one day and he was going to go ask God, hey, can I try to create something? God's like, okay, let's see what you got. This is before fall, mind you. And all of a sudden, Satan creates calculus, right? And God saw at that moment in the creation of calculus that you are evil and there is no place for you in heaven. So therefore, he was cast out of heaven for creating calculus. I'm just playing. I hate calculus. But I'll kind of give you a reason for that. But in high school, I've always been really good at math. Like I was A+, above A+ in math going all the way through school. And then I got into high school. I got into the advanced track, and I was kind of keeping the A and B. And then I got to calculus when I was in 11th grade. And, you know, first semester, I got a B. I was doing good, you know. I felt good, you know, and then something happened. And I missed 2 days. Well, apparently 2 days in calculus is 1,000 years, right? Just like when God says, you know, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Apparently 2 days in calculus is like 1,000 years because I came back and I was lost. And I went from having a B in the class to an F after 2 days. And it was literally the first time I had ever gotten an F on my report card. I was like, I've tried to get back into this. I've worked. And, you know, the final was coming up. And I was like, if I don't get a passing grade on this final, I'm going to have to fail and I'm going to have to go through this torture again. So I went and I found myself a tutor. And when I went and sat down with this tutor, he was a dad of a friend of mine. And we sat down for hours and hours of him studying with me and helping me to understand calculus. I got a D on my final and I passed the class. I passed with a D. So, you know, praise God for that, scraping by on the skin of my teeth. But the truth is, we all have different things in our lives that are like calculus. We all have different things that we don't understand. We all have things that are very difficult for us. And has anybody ever had to have a tutor in this room? How many of you sometimes feel you need a tutor when it comes to understanding God? Right? I think we all have that place where it's like, man, I understand this about God, I understand this about my faith, but I don't understand certain things. I mean, if we get talking into about the Trinity and all that kind of stuff, I think all of us need some sort of tutor when it comes to that and just trying to understand what that whole dynamic is, right? But the truth is, when it does come to the Bible and an understanding God, there actually is a tutor that is there for us to help us to understand. The title of today's message is The Spirit of Truth. And before we really get into 1 Corinthians, I want to jump back a little bit into the book of John. We'll start off in John chapter 16. We're going to read two verses out of there. First is 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is, we all know that he went through the crucifixion, he did the resurrection, now he's about to ascend and saying, hey, guys, it's better if I go away, so there's a helper that's going to come. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit here, that when I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to come and be among you. All right, so it's setting that up. And then down in verse 13, it begins to explain a little bit more about what the Holy Spirit is going to do. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the first thing I want you guys to understand this morning is that the Holy Spirit is important in our walk and understanding in our relationship with God. If we have this Spirit that was sent to us after Jesus came to earth that is guiding us into all truth, we have to understand that that is important for our walk with Him. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And why is that important today? It's because we live in a world that teaches lies as truth. I think we can begin to look around in this world and there's a lot of things that we hear and it begins to divide us into a place. It's like, well, is this real? Is this something that I believe should be okay? Or is this something that's not necessarily okay? And they begin to teach and say, hey, if you don't believe this specific way or believe this specific thing or do this a specific way, then you're wrong. And a lot of the things that this world is beginning to teach us are contradictory to the Bible. So therefore, it is important to know what truth is when we're trying to walk out our Christian life. And Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me or comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him, you do know him and have seen him. So as we begin to read this verse, we see that Jesus is calling himself the truth. Knowing truth is knowing Jesus, and knowing Jesus is knowing the Father. That's what it says here in this passage, right? Is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through him. So we can know that the more that we can understand truth by seeking out the Holy Spirit that will guide us to truth, which is guiding us more into a relationship with Jesus, more understanding Jesus, and the more that we begin to understand Jesus, the closer that we can get to understanding the Father. You can begin to see the way that the Trinity works together through this verse and through this passage. That all three of them are important in our walk, in our understanding. Every day we should strive to know God more. Every single day when we wake up, we have the choice to say, I want to draw closer to God, or I don't want to draw closer to God. And our actions are the things that will begin to follow that up. If we ever stop this, we will grow stagnant and complacent in our walk. If we ever decide that, hey, where I'm at in my relationship with God right now, I'm okay with that. I'm good with where I'm at. If you ever get to that place where you decide that growth is not for you, you might want to check yourself. Because if we serve an infinite God that we can never hope to understand all aspects of him, there's no way that we should ever be able to get to a place and say, I know God enough. Because we serve an amazing God that has so much to offer for each and every one of us. We see little proofs in the day-to-day things through the blessings that we receive. We see the way that he loves us through the sacrifice of Jesus. We see the way that he cares for us by sending the Holy Spirit to always be there with us, to send the Spirit to guide us into truth. We can see the way that God is involved in our lives at all time. It's just harder sometimes to see him, right? But we should be seeking out the Holy Spirit on a continual basis, because if he is the one that is guiding us into that truth, we need to know him, we need to seek him, and say, God, Holy Spirit, please continue to reveal more about God to me so I can continue to grow in my relationship with him. All right, let's jump into 1 Corinthians, because this first half is kind of setting up where we're going to be in Corinthians today, because it is going to be talking about the spirit of wisdom. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, or we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. So when I was reading this, I was thinking about the whole idea, man, we as people love to share the worldly knowledge that we have. When we learn something new, we got to be like, hey, I'm going to go tell this person. I'm going to go tell my friend about this. And we just begin to get excited when we learn something new. Right? You guys agree with me? Do you guys do that? When you get excited about learning something, you're like, I got to go share this with somebody because this is really cool. But the truth is, we should be more so like to share the wisdom of God. I think one of the things when we start to gain knowledge and we like to learn like new things and go out there and begin to share all those things, that's one of the reasons we like to watch game shows. Like we sit there and we watch Jeopardy and all of those shows, and we want to try to get the answers before the person. We want to solve those things because we want to begin to show the knowledge that we have. And be like, man, I can't believe you didn't get that. I even knew that answer. I'm not the only one that does that. Come on, right? I'm not the only one that sits there and be like, how did you not know that? But to take it a little bit deeper, this is one of the reasons that we as people, that gossip is such a problem. That we so very much like to share the wisdom that we get, that we're willing to go and begin to gossip about other people. We're willing to go and gossip and talk bad about somebody, say bad things about somebody, say bad things about Tyler becoming the interim pastor, you know. Just saying. But the truth is, a lot of the times, those things are just opinions or a side of a thing, and it's talking about things that aren't necessarily, you know, things that we need to share. And one of the things I just want to challenge us with while I'm on the topic is, as these changes and all of these things begin to happen here, we encourage to talk together about it, not go and begin to gossip about different things and talk about different things, because what that ultimately is going to do is begin to divide us. And what we need at this time is to come together, right? So let's begin to talk these things out together. If there's something you don't like, talk to somebody that, you know, can help with that. Don't begin to go out and have other conversations and do different things. Let's see what we can do to work together to change things and bring things together. Let's have honest conversations about these changes and where things are going to go. It's okay. One of the things that we love and want to really help everybody in this room is to have some sort of voice, to be able to talk, to know that you're heard, to know that we care about you, to know what's going on in your lives. And that takes talking and getting to know each other through the changes. But the other thing we have to recognize is that all of this stuff in this world that we love to share about, all of the things in this world, one thing we can agree on is that all of it is going to pass away. All of the knowledge that we try to gain in this world, all of the things that we learn, all of that stuff that's really important that the news talks about, all of that stuff is going to pass away at some point in time. The knowledge of this world is temporary. But let's look at what 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25 say. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you, which is, they're referencing Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 in that. The word of God is something that will never fade away, that it will always be there. The knowledge of this world is the grass and the flowers that will wither and fade away. Why would we continue to pass on things or put more importance in the knowledge of this world rather than share something that's going to last forever, something that's going to last far beyond what this world has to offer? Because the Word of God and knowing God and the relationship with God is going to be the thing that lasts for all eternity. So if we can get excited about sharing a little detail about, hey, I learned this in math class today, right? I mean, none of us are in math class, I don't think, anymore. Maybe a few of you. But why can't we get as excited about sharing Jesus? And I know you guys can probably say, hey, Travis, you've been harping on this for like 2-3 months now, but I want us to get it. I want us to get to the point where we have a desire and an excitement to share Jesus. I want to share something that Tyler said last week. The summation of all knowledge is nothing compared to the knowledge of Christ crucified. This is a point that he hit on really heavy last week. The idea that all of the knowledge within this world, all of the knowledge that we can gain in life, is nothing compared to Christ crucified. Again, because all of that knowledge that we can gain is going to be something that passes away, that withers, and doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter how much knowledge that we can gain in this life, it will continue to be temporary and that will never change. But the Word of God and Christ crucified and the message of salvation that comes through that will never fade. You know, it's easy to get to that place where we begin to see tangible things and intangible. The idea that when we get to all of the things that we see in front of us, all of that knowledge that's there in front of us, we can see it, we can grasp it, we can get it. So we're like, yes, I want that. But tangible things wither. Tangible things fade, whereas the intangible, the God that we cannot see, the God that is in this universe will last forever, and we can reach out to that intangible and know that there will be a response and that He is there. And there's so much that we as a church, that we as the body have to offer this world in knowing Jesus. We can imagine and know just the change in the depth of who we are. Who we are has become Jesus, right? That when we bring Jesus into our lives, we are changed. We are not the same, and we strive to be more and more like Him every single day. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So it's talking about the secret knowledge of Jesus Christ and Christ crucified and how that was God's plan, and that's what Jesus was coming to be here. But the rulers of the time did not understand this, and because they didn't understand this, this is why they crucified Jesus. They couldn't look past their works. They couldn't look past all of their religion and all of those different things to see what God was trying to do. When we have a growing relationship with God, we will recognize Him. When it really comes about the idea of pursuing and getting to know God more, we're less likely to miss Him when He tries to talk to us. The more we know Him, the less likely we are to miss the blessings that He has for us. See, because we can look at that, and it talks about the idea that they didn't recognize who Jesus was, so therefore they crucified Him. They didn't see Him as the symbol of love that God was sending to the world. They didn't see Him as God Himself. They didn't see those things because they didn't really know God. They couldn't see God, they couldn't know Him, so therefore this guy is not of God, so let's kill him, let's get rid of him. And this is what can happen in our walk, this is what can happen in our lives when we don't know Him, is that when God begins to try to speak to us and say, hey, this is your calling, this is your purpose, this is what I have you here for, you're like, I don't know if that's really God. I don't know if that's really God that's trying to talk to me. I don't really know if that's God saying, hey, if you continue to go this, I want to open this door for you. I want to open this door for you. I want to get you going in this direction. This is the path I have for you. If you don't know His voice and don't know Him, it's easy to miss those things. That is why we need to be waking up every day and choosing to say, God, I want to know You more, because I don't want to miss it when You're calling me to something. I don't want to miss the blessing. I don't want to miss You trying to get me out of the situation that I'm in right now when You're trying to tell me and I can't hear You. It's easy to not know somebody if you've never really talked to them. It's easy not to know God if you've never read His Word and began to understand how He talks and what He means. And then you begin to hear, hey, this is what truth is from the world. And then you don't know it's contradictory to the Bible. So you're hearing all of these different voices and you don't know which one is the right one when God is trying to speak to you. And sometimes we can even get to the place where we discard the blessings. No, thank you. I don't want to go down that road. That seems too challenging. That change is too big. I don't want to go down that way. We begin to discard the changes just the same way that the religious leaders discarded Jesus. See, Jesus was the biggest blessing that this world would ever receive. And the people that were supposed to be the leaders and those that were pointing to God couldn't even recognize that. I want us to be a church. I want us to be a body that can recognize God when He's involved in our lives. I want to see a church that is ready to receive God and know when His hand is over a situation, when His hand is over the church, when the Holy Spirit is beginning to move in the room. That's the kind of church I desire for us to be. But it does take that growth. And it is important not to just know of God, but know Him. Just like Tyler said last week, to know Him to the point of possession, right? He said that was the definition of that word know, is that it's to the point where He is within us, He is a part of us, Jesus is within, you know? I think there's a lot of Christians that walk around this world just knowing of God. They know of Jesus, but they don't really know Him. And that's what we need to strive to be, are people that know God and have that firm foundation and relationship with Him. Ephesians chapter 1, 16 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glory and inheritance in the saints. So again, it's talking about that the Father gave us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to, again, understand truth. To understand the callings and the purposes of our life. And again, it points to the Holy Spirit being involved in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart revealed to of man imagined, and what God prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. We cannot see or comprehend the things of God without Him revealing them to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, in those moments where we begin to go to church or we have an interest in God, sometimes it's really hard to understand what Jesus means to each of us. Sometimes when we begin searching or people in this world begin searching for Jesus, when they first hear the message, it's hard to comprehend. You know, this past Friday, we had the memorial service for Nancy, and after the memorial service, there was a gentleman that came up and he was talking to me. And he's like, man, how can God or how can anybody forgive all things that you've done? Can you explain that to me? And it's really difficult to be able to understand forgiveness, right? Because we ultimately live within a world where people don't really forgive one another. Do you guys agree? We may say it. We may say, hey, I forgive you. But the moment that, you know, that conversation comes up or that topic comes up, all of a sudden we get frustrated. We get angry. And we begin to let it just boil up inside of us. So when you live in a world where it's hard to understand forgiveness because nobody really forgives one another, especially with the idea that somebody is going to forgive you for everything, no matter how deep, no matter how bad you feel it is, there is somebody that's going to forgive us of that, that is hard to understand. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can begin to help us to understand the depth of the forgiveness that we experience. For goodness sakes, we can't even forgive ourselves. If we can't understand how to forgive ourselves, how can we understand when somebody else is trying to forgive us? If we can't accept forgiveness from ourselves, how can we accept forgiveness from somebody that wants to wipe it all away? So as we begin to see the impact of the Holy Spirit within our lives, that He begins to reveal and to help us to understand more about God, to understand more about our relationship, to understand more of what Christ crucified means to us. God gave us the Holy Spirit through His greatest expression of love. God sent us the Holy Spirit by sacrificing His Son on the cross for all of us. That Jesus willingly went to the cross to die and say, hey, what I'm going to do is sacrifice myself so that way I can make us all holy enough so that way the Holy Spirit can dwell within inside of us. The sacrifice of Jesus began to allow that to happen. And I love the way that God didn't just like have Jesus die on the cross, but He's like, hey, I'm going to show you a physical picture of what it looks like, that there is no longer a separation between us. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, it says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. It was signifying that there is no longer that separation between us and God. And because that separation was gone, we can now have the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's so cool the way that God just does that. He's like, hey, I'm going to show you that because of Jesus' sacrifice, that there's no longer a space between us. And what I'm going to do is, hey, the curtain is going to tear from top to bottom to show that I'm coming to you. Isn't that cool? Like, when you really think about it and think about how God orchestrated and showed that illustration, it just blows my mind. Man, when we love God and believe in Jesus, we have access to the Holy Spirit. And this is another area where it really begins to see the way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit really begin to come together. Because God sent the Son died on the cross, and then sent the Holy Spirit to us. But then the Holy Spirit begins to reveal truth to us about the Father and the Son. It's such a neat thing, the way that we can see how God uses His Trinity to show us and grow us in our relationship, and how all three of them are very imperative to where we go in our walk with Him. In return, the Holy Spirit reveals to us an understanding of Christ crucified. Man, I grew up in the church, and I always heard the stories of you know, Jesus dying on the cross, and it's like, yeah, this is great. I can receive salvation. I can do all of those things. All the heaviness is taken off of me. But man, when you really begin to understand that, that should break you down every time. Because there's so much that Jesus has given us through His sacrifice. And when we can begin to understand the depth of that love, the depth of that sacrifice, we can't be the same. As we seek to know and involve the Holy Spirit in our lives, the greater we can understand God. As we want to grow in our relationship, as we want to get to know God and understand more about Him, to understand what He means to all of us, to understand the Bible, to understand His Word, it does take seeking out the Holy Spirit to get to know Him. And we're about to get into a verse that really begins to help us to understand why we need to seek out the Holy Spirit to understand God further. But I want to say this first. When we lean on God and trust in His plan, the Holy Spirit can reveal the way that God has worked or is working in our lives. You know, sometimes we can look throughout life, and when we're going through something, you'll be like, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why God would allow this to happen. But as we begin to seek out the Holy Spirit, He can help us to reveal and begin to see the way that God is moving behind the scenes and God is using that situation for your good and the way that God is beginning to bring you through those things. But we need to seek out the Spirit of truth. Verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So we as people, I could say that we probably don't share every single thought that we have, which is probably a good thing. We don't share all of our inner emotions. We don't share, well, except maybe me because I'm crying all the time apparently. We don't share all of these things that we really harbor inside, but our spirit, our inner being, knows our inner thoughts. It knows our darkest thoughts. It knows everything, every intention that we have behind the actions that we make. We may put on that front and say, man, I'm so glad to be here today. But inside, we're like, I really don't want to be here today. Our spirit knows those intentions. Our spirit knows all of those things about us. In the same way, the Holy Spirit knows the intentions, the reasonings, and the actions behind everything that God does. That's what this verse is saying, is that only the Spirit can comprehend the thoughts of God. So in those moments where we don't necessarily understand why or the way that God is moving in a situation, we can begin to seek that out. Just as our spirit knows us better than anyone, God's spirit knows Him best. So to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit is something that is very needed for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Again, it goes back to the idea that the things that we know about Jesus, the things that we know about God, are not a worldly wisdom. We're not taught these things by the world, but it is the Spirit of God that begins to teach us and reveal us these things so that way we can begin to march in our relationship with God, allow our lives to be changed. It's because the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us because He does know the thoughts and the intentions and the actions and the love, the real love that God has for all of us. It's not a worldly wisdom that saves us from our sins or eternal death. I think we can all agree on that. But honestly, in the wisdom that this world has, what people think is that, hey, all of the things that I do good are the things that will earn me a place in heaven. This is a worldly wisdom that has begun to go around that, hey, I'm a good person, so I've earned my place in heaven. Sadly, that's not the case. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how many good things that you've done in your life. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us in those moments where we hear that message and we hear that call forward to receive Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit that begins to tug on us and say, hey, you need this. You understand this. You've been trying to figure this out for a long time. You've been trying to figure out what that hole is within you. This is it. So let's go. Let's go. We have received this gift, and now it is our job to impart it to others. So what it's saying here is just the idea that since the Holy Spirit revealed it to us that Christ crucified and what that means, and through the salvation, now it is our job to go out into the world and impart the things that the Holy Spirit has taught us. And the best thing about this, and I've been, again, harping on this for weeks, is we don't have to go by ourselves. We don't have to go out there and think that we have to have all the right eloquent words to say. We don't have to have all the wisdom, because what it says right here in this passage is that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, is the thing that taught us. So therefore, it is going to be the one that teaches others and helps others to gain that comprehension and that understanding of the forgiveness of Jesus for their lives. That, again, should be something we're like, whew, it's not on me. When we allow and ask the Holy Spirit to use us, He can speak through us to reveal salvation to others. Every day we should be asking, Holy Spirit, how can you use me today? Give me an opportunity to be used by you. Sorry, I know I'm running out of time. Tyler and Dee took up more than 5 minutes, so I gotta rush a little bit more. It's all good. Verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, just as I was talking about earlier, that it's hard for people in this world to understand forgiveness of God through an earthly wisdom. That sometimes they can think that it's folly or it's untruthful that somebody would give them salvation because of the things that they've done. It's easy to look in this world and say, man, that cannot be true. That is stupid. Why would somebody give their life up for me that has never met me, that has never seen me, that doesn't know me at all? And then they can look at it and it's like, that's just a fairy tale. That's dumb. Why would that ever happen for me? But as those that don't know Jesus cannot understand why things happen in life or even blame a God that they don't understand. Have you ever known anybody or met anybody in your life that when they're going through something, you know that they don't have a relationship with God. You know that they don't understand God, but they begin to blame God for what they're going through. It's easy for a person that doesn't know God or being able to understand the situations of life to begin to blame things on Him because it looks foolish and they're just looking for a way out of the situation. But what we can understand as we know God and have that relationship with Him is that He's there with us through the storms. He is there with us through the hard times. And that's a hope that we all have within us. It's our calling to help others to go and help them to understand that there is a hope in this world. And His name is Jesus Christ. And as Christians, I think, you know, we also go out there a lot of the times and we try to hold a standard over somebody that doesn't know God. Try to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. The way that you're living is wrong. Those things that you are doing are wrong. But if they don't know Jesus, how can we hold them to live under the same standards? And you know, the Bible actually talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So I'm jumping up three chapters from here real quick. And it says, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Yikes. That's right. That one's like, ooh, okay. But it's just getting to the idea that, hey, if somebody doesn't know Jesus, doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, have never turned themselves over to Jesus, who are we to go out there and say, hey, you're living your life wrong, and what you're doing is wrong? Our job is to be there for them, to love them, and help them to get to know a loving relationship with Jesus. And then, after they know Jesus and have decided to follow Him, Then it says, once they get into the church, I'm not saying that they have to bash her or be like, hey, you're saved now, I'm going to tear you up. But it's just about getting to a place where you're guiding them and say, hey, you know, in your life before you knew Jesus, this is something that you were doing. But now that you have this relationship with Jesus, let me help you walk this through. And when people begin to see the church functioning in that way and saying, hey, what I believe, I'm forcing it on you, that's just going to push them further away from God, and they're going to think it's more folly than anything. You talk to me about a loving Jesus, but ultimately you're just a judging person. And they can begin to be pushed further and further away from it. Those who do not know Jesus do not understand, and they can't understand forgiveness or eternal life. We talked about that earlier, that they can't understand the forgiveness, and they think they have to do it by works. Because nothing in life is free. That's something we're taught from an early age, right? Nothing in life is free. But Jesus freely gives that salvation, and sometimes it's hard for people to receive something that's free. I want to close out with this scripture, and it might seem contradictory to the verse I just read, so give me a second to break it down after I read it. Verses 15 and 16, it says, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. When I first read that, I was like, that seems very opposite to what that verse is that I just read. And the idea that, you know, it's saying judge all things, but those that inside that know Christ shouldn't be judged, right? But ultimately, what it's trying to say here is not about judging people, but it's about judging and understanding the circumstances that are happening around us. To judge the situation through a spiritual lens. We need to be able to see the world through a spiritual understanding. So we can judge a situation and say, hey, this thing that I'm going through, I can see the way that Jesus is working through this. I can see the way that God is working through this and begin to discern and understand the way that God is moving behind something. That is the judgment that it's talking about in this area, is being able to see life through a spiritual lens as opposed to a humanly lens. Does that make sense? That as we begin to look at our circumstances, we need to be looking for God through those things. We need to see the way that God is moving through those things. And again, it points back to the spirit of wisdom being there to help us to understand. So building that relationship with the Holy Spirit, again, is imperative to us. And just because we are in this world doesn't mean that we have to live like the rest of the world. We don't have to live like the rest of the world. We don't have to complain the way the rest of the world does. We don't have to do all of these things that the rest of the world does, because we know that Jesus is with us. We know that Jesus has forgiven us to take the weight off. We know that God is with us, that whatever the situation is that we're going through, we can begin to move through it with him. And the good thing is, not only do we have him, but we have one another, right? Again, it's a call to be together, to be followers together. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When we have that relationship with Jesus and come to that salvation, let our minds be transformed to be able to look at this world differently. Let us be able to look at situations differently. Let us be able to look at all things differently. So as Christians, we need to think and live differently. The only way that we can accomplish this is to know the difference between a truth and a lie. We can do this by coming to know God more. So I want to close out with this, and the band can come up. And after this last song of worship and in the announcements, we get to celebrate today because we actually have a baptism. So we get to celebrate somebody wanting to give their outward expression of who Jesus is, what Jesus has already done in their lives. So I am super excited. So please stay around for the baptism. I think they already went out to change and stuff. But with these final takeaways, I want to break everything down for you this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit is imperative to our Christian walk as He guides us to truth in a world that doesn't know truth from a lie. I don't want us to be fooled. I don't want us to think that, you know, God is a specific way, that He's really not, or that a truth is something that's not a truth of God. I want us to be able to understand what it's like to know God, to know His Word without a shadow of a doubt, that when we live life, we don't have to go to a place and say, man, am I doing something that's against God or am I not? I want us to be a place where we, as a church, know truth. Number two, we should be more ready to share spiritual knowledge of Christ crucified that lasts forever, rather than worldly knowledge that will pass away. Next time you get excited about some sort of knowledge that you have or something new that you learned, I want you to remember that excitement and that feeling when you get to share it with somebody. Like, man, I want this for my relationship with Jesus. Have the same excitement when I share that knowledge with somebody else. Number three, we need to know, have the possession of God if we are to recognize Him in our lives. To possess Him, to have Him every single day, so that way we can know Him, so that way when He begins to speak to us and give us direction for our lives, to give us our purpose, to give us His plans, that we know it's Him. Four, if we are to grow in our understanding of God, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We should begin to ask every day, Holy Spirit, reveal to me. Give me a new revelation in my relationship with Him. Number five, without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to understand the depth of Christ crucified. I want us all to get it to that place where we can really understand the depth of what Jesus' sacrifice has meant for every single one of us. Because if we just have a shallow understanding of it, we're never going to move. It takes that real understanding and the depth of the change that it brings to us and the change that it can bring to somebody else for us to begin to move together. And lastly, we need to look at the world and our situations through the spiritual eyes, not our humanly eyes. To look into every situation and say, God, where are You in this? I know You're there. But God, help me to see You. Help me to understand. And I believe that as we pray that when we're going through stuff, we'll begin to see things more clearly than we ever have before. Because God never leaves us. He is right there beside us every step of the way. So Father God, I just want to thank You so much that You loved us so much that You were willing to sacrifice Your Son on the cross. And that through Your sacrifice, Jesus, that You would send a Holy Spirit that can dwell within us to help us in life to know truth, to be able to separate it from the lies of this world. Lord, that we could have a wisdom that lasts forever. God, and we have the ability to go and to share that with the world. So I pray that as You begin to call on us, Lord, that we would be able to recognize Your voice because we know who You are. God, I pray that we as a church and we as individuals would be able to get to a place where we say every day, I want to know You more, God. I want to be closer to You. God, begin to reveal Yourself to me more than You did yesterday. And Holy Spirit, I pray that as we begin to cry out and pray and seek You out, Lord, that You would begin to reveal those things. God, I pray for anybody that is going through something in this room right now, Lord, that they would be able to see You at work in that situation, and Lord, that Your hand would be on them to grant them peace in the midst of the storm. Lord, that You'd be able to, that You would give them the strength and the endurance to get through it. So thank You, Spirit, for giving us the wisdom to help us to come to a salvation through Jesus Christ. And Lord, let us go out in this world and begin to move and make a difference by imparting the wisdom that you've given to us. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.